we can go back up to the budget, and Chris is available, I think.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My apologies for having you skip over me. I'm kind of doing double duty today and attending RGFP Commission meeting right along with the South Dakota Dairy Association Commission meeting. So, Mr. Chairman, it can be your choice. We can talk about dairy inspections and raw milk assessment fees, or we can talk about game, fish, and parks. I'll be good either way.
Well, we'll leave it to you to determine.
Sounds real good. Mr. Chairman, if you go to your packets, after the minutes and those kind of things, page 19 has about 4 or 5 pages of budget information on sheets or forms that you usually see us present to the commission or in a public setting. Where we are today in our budget process for state government is the department, we finished our fiscal year back on June 30th, started our fiscal year 2021 on July 1, and then about that same time of year, we start putting our budget projections and estimates and requests together for the fiscal year that will start next July 1st. So we put our budget requests together through looking at a lot of categories, a lot of needs, turn that stuff into the Bureau of Finance and Management, the Governor's Budget Office, and then we kind of start a lot of internal deliberations. The governor will give her budget address in December, and then we'll go into the legislative session and use a lot of these documents you see in front of you today as kind of the starting point for what GFP thinks we need for a budget going forward. Go through the legislative process, and then we will circle back late next spring before the year starts. And then, as you all know, Game, Fish, and Parks is one of those department state government agencies that's kind of a hybrid. There are portions of this budget that are directly under your control and portions of this budget that are under the control of the legislature. So we're going to give you your first peek and the public's first peek into our budget proposal, and we're going to cover both sides, the part under your authority that we'll ask you to review and adopt next spring, as well as the parts of the budget that will be reviewed and hopefully approved by the legislature this coming winter in January, February, and March. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, if you go to that page 19 in your packet, the first program that we have listed says 0610 Wildlife. This is our operations budget for the Division of Wildlife. So the first three pages today are the budgets that you as the commission have control over. The wildlife budget, the wildlife capital development and construction budget, and the budget for the snowmobile trails program. All three of those pages will be under your control, and we'll get circle back with you this spring to review these again. So the budget for the wildlife operations, this budget, if you look at about the middle column there, it says budget FY21. The current budget includes about $21 million for salaries and benefits. That is for 296 FTE. That's a full-time equivalent for an employee working full-time. So more staff than that in the budget for sure, but 296 budgeted FTE for the Wildlife Division. And in this first kind of top third of the page, at this point, you don't see any requested adjustments for inflation or expansion for salaries and benefits. That's because as we go as part of state government, the salary package, any needs for health insurance, maybe a raise, those kind of things, those will get debated for state government as a whole when we get to the legislative session, and any adjustments that the department may get for salaries and benefits, you'll see that reflected in here come March. So for now, the budget is unchanged at $21,181,581 for salaries and benefits. Now we go into the middle part of the column where you'll see travel, contractual, supplies, grants, capital assets, and then it breaks it down by our funding sources as well. But the current budget for kind of the operating expenses for wildlife operations is $30.6 million. The Wildlife Division is asking for some pretty significant budget growth here to the tune of $7.4 million of increased growth which is probably one of the bigger budget authority increases you'll see or have seen in state government for the Game Fish and Parks Department in quite a while. But why such a big increase? Well, Mr. Chairman, I will point to you, middle of the page, right-hand column, you will see $5.6 million of increases for the contractual services column. As you're all aware of, as we've talked about in our budget subcommittees, the legislature approved some fee increases for the Wildlife Division directly associated with habitat stamp or habitat certification fees. Heather had just mentioned our collections in that area since this fee went into place in July. So plus or minus, that fee in any given license year will generate for the department $5 to $6 million of new revenue. So of the $7 million requested here, 7.4, keep in mind that $5 to $6 million is going to be directly tied to allow the division and the department to spend those new habitat certification dollars. Those dollars are earmarked pretty specifically in the statute that enabled those fees, and the department will then take those dollars and do many types of habitat expansions and rehabilitation projects through both our terrestrial side and our aquatic side, you know, fisheries and wildlife, and then those expenses will get reflected in our accounting documents, and we just need budget authority to cover those things. So for sure, you will see that those expenses grow to match this increased budget as well. Mr. Chairman, I want to show just briefly another big increase that shows up kind of because of the way we do our accounting, $1.5 million increase in travel. Actually, what we're doing is based on kind of recommendations from legislative audit, more of our travel costs or more of our costs that we were historically reflecting in contractual services for vehicle mileage and such, we're shifting those based on audit recommendations to the travel category. So really there's a plus and a minus between the first two categories there. So what I'm telling you is the $1.5 million isn't growth in overall budget, it's just changing categories. From that perspective, you will also see that within the Parks Division as well. So, Mr. Chairman, what this equals for the Division of Wildlife, we currently have, as you go to the bottom of page 19, $51.8 million current budget, and then this would grow to basically $59.3 million. This is our proposed request anyway, for an increase of $7.4 million in this area, which is kind of the wildlife operation side. And again, the vast majority of that is going to go right towards the spend of the habitat dollars. And then we are also programming in about $1 million of increased cost, as we talked about with the budget subcommittees, for the e-commerce system that Emily and Tania just went through as well. So those are factored in there. So that's what you get for the wildlife operations budget. Page two, a much smaller budget with just a few items in it. Page two is the capital development improvement budget for wildlife. These are the projects we plan to do for the year. The current budget is $2.5 million. We have a laundry list of projects that work with shooting range development and enhancements, small dam repairs, those kind of things, as well as new fishing piers, upgrades to boat ramps, those kind of things. Plus or minus, this budget is staying very close to the same at $2.5 million. Is our request for this fiscal year that would start next July 1. Mr. Chairman, that's page 20. Move on to page 21. This would be the third and final budget that is directly with budgetary controls with your commission. This budget is the Snowmobile Trails Program. So operated kind of through our State Parks Division, the Snowmobile Trails Program maintains and manages the extensive Snowmobile Trails system within the Black Hills of South Dakota, but then they also contract with local snowmobile groups to maintain and keep current the trail system that operates with the little reflective signs in the ditches across eastern South Dakota as well. So it covers both east and west South Dakota. Total budget for this program is budgeted at $1.3 million. Only under perfect, long winter snow conditions will the Snowmobile Trails Program ever reach or get close to that level of expenditures. Usually, It's less than that to the tune of $800,000-$900,000 of expenditures for the program, but we do have a budget with no recommended real changes requested, and we'll bring this to you in the spring as well at about that $1.386 million for the Snowmobile Trails program, Mr. Chairman. With that, Mr. Chairman, we're going to bump into the next three budgets. These are the three budgets that are directly under control of the legislature and kind of the statewide government budgeting process. The first division or program budget unit that we have up there is the admin division. So this division, Mr. Chairman, with 28.6 budgeted FTE, this covers the engineering section for our department, myself and my accounting and finance staff for the department, all of the budget and expenditures for yourself and the commissioners, as well as legal counsel, Secretary Hepler, and all of our administrative staff as well. So this budget across all those areas is $4.6 million. With some miscellaneous adjustments here and there, you will see about $75,000 of reductions in salaries and benefits. What you will see is the used FTE in fiscal year 20 at about 23.6. So we've got basically some unutilized staffing levels there. We are shifting some of that budget, as we've all talked about, again, with kind of our marketing initiatives and our e-commerce stuff. We are shifting kind of staffing resources out of this budget and earmarking, moving those budgets down into the operating side of the budget so we can use those to cover some of the costs of some of our new marketing initiatives and the cost of the e-commerce system. So those are the pieces that we're moving around within that budget. The net growth in the admin division as a whole is only $1,014. Mr. Chairman, moving on to the next page of the budget, we have the operations budget for our statewide park system. Just a little bit smaller budget than the wildlife operations at 250.2 FTE. In addition to that, the overall budget was $27.4 million for the year we're currently in, kind of their middle bottom of your page. And then this budget for operations is requested to grow by $840,000, really in two areas. You can see expenses in fiscal year 19, fiscal year 20, below our budget items. What we had in like fiscal year 19 was the division coming off some of those flood years. And now with an extensive amount of use within the state park system in 2020, we have $840,000 budgeted in for basically equipment replacement, equipment that's wearing out, and a lot of utility costs for all the commissioners out there. It's a great problem to have. We need to grow the budget because we've grown our revenues, right? The camping and park entrance license sales have been phenomenal in calendar year 20. So this is just reflected growth in the budget to align with some of those things. So here we have a recommended or requested budget so far at $28.2 million for that budget year that would start next July 1. Next page for the commissioners, again, kind of back to our development and improvement, our project side of the budgets. The budget for the project side for the park system is quite a bit bigger than the project budget, the $2.5 million we talked about for wildlife. On the project budget side for the Division of Parks and Recreation, we have $11.9 million budgeted in the current year. And then we're going to grow it on top of that to the tune of an additional $1.4 million in there as well. Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, what we're doing with growth of the capital development budget, first and foremost, is growing this budget for items that need to be addressed, again, back to 2019 with that flood year that damaged, honestly, a lot of park and recreation areas between bridges and dams and different things to the park system. We've got some work to do to catch back up. The good thing about this is that money, the $1.4 million that you see here, Governor Noem, last legislative session, kind of retooled through some statute changes and created what we would call kind of an emergency disaster loan program within the State Department of Public Safety. This is a program that has dollars available to city, state, local governments, county level, for emergency and disaster recoveries, where you can borrow dollars, and it'll get you kind of the cash that you need, and then pay it back at like 2% interest over 7 years. So, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, our Parks Division has already borrowed about $1.8 million in the current year to do some flood repairs, and then here we're going to borrow this additional budget out of those, out of that piece as well, so that we can do additional flood projects, get us back to where we were before all those challenging floods of 2019. Last page, this one just is going to summarize the overall department. So this is commission-controlled budgets, legislatively-controlled budgets, the Parks Division, the Admin Division, the Wildlife Division, all of the project budgets all rolled into one large-scale budget for the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. If you go again to the bottom of the page, you're going to see a current budget just under $100 million, $99.7 million of budget across all of the department. We did talk about, like I mentioned, some big budget items that will grow this budget. If approved, to the tune of $9.6 million, that would take this budget to just over $109 million for the fiscal year that will start here July 1st. And I think overall, Mr. Chairman, for the public, everybody listening, the take-home of this budget, you know, with that budget growth of $9.6 million, is that a lot of that growth in budget, or the growth in expenditures, relates to having dollars in hand. That's going to be, you know, the $5, $6 million for the habitat stamp certification, some flood repair money that we're going to borrow for a few years to get back to square. And that really reflects the vast, vast majority of the increased or the budget adjustments for Game, Fish, and Parks. So, Mr. Chairman, everybody from the public and commissioners, pages 19 through 25, they're six pages of kind of our budget summaries, right, our spreadsheets that kind of summarize everything. I'm sure Mr. Chairman and commissioners will be providing you more budget updates as the process, the budget cycle, rolls through December, January, February, March, and we'll be back to you in the spring, probably May or June, asking you to actually approve some budget numbers for wildlife and Stoneville Trails as well. So with that, I can sure stand by for any questions. Otherwise, that's what I've got for just kind of a budget overview for today.
Comments or questions? Any questions? Can't tell if anybody has. Chris, maybe this isn't so much for you, but I know there's more and more interest, of course, about the habitat stamp and the money that's been raised, and how, I mean, what's the plan for going forward and developing plans for spending it. And so, I don't know if that's more for you or Kelly or Kevin or Tom or who, but.
Mr. Chairman, let me start out on the technical side, then we'll turn it over to Tommy for kind of the other side. So, for sure, the public and the commissioners can be comfortable and confident that because it's an earmarked pot of money, it almost becomes like a new checkbook or a new sub-fund that will be tracked. So all of the new dollars coming in are kind of held off separately from regular hunting and fishing licenses, and then all of the expenditures that are going to go, you know, come from having those dollars in hand are also going to be kind of segregated out, and we'll be able to report those things separately to you in a separate fund. So from there, I'll shift over to Tommy, and he can talk about the work that they've been doing for the better part of a year now on projects and where that money will go.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Chris, and appreciate the question, Mr. Chairman. So in respect to the habitat stamp, both on the terrestrial and aquatic side, we have what I would describe to you as a spending plan or a spending approach for the habitat stamp funds on both sides or sectors, and in some cases they're collaborative projects as well. Heather's on the line here as well, and she worked very closely with Paul Coughlin on the terrestrial side and Gino Adams on the aquatic side of pulling that together and working with the various staff across the state, and to help identify what types of projects and how do we prioritize the projects both on terrestrial and aquatic side. So we have that plan in place. That helps us also the plan track the various projects that are going on, how much funds are going to each individual project. And as I mentioned, there's going to be instances where the project itself is going to be a collaborative or a cooperative project that includes both terrestrial and aquatics funds and resources and staff engaged in the project. So for example, I know we've had conversations around like Lake Mitchell and all the issues that revolve around that particular body of water. Well, it's not just an aquatic issue, right? There's other resource challenges that come with Lake Mitchell, i.e. from the tributaries of the stream that goes into Lake Mitchell to runoff and the various components related to water quality and such. And so that's a type of example where a bigger scale project is going to use funds from both aquatic and terrestrial side. So we do have a plan in place to help prioritize what those projects would be, both on game production areas, access activities. Again, remember on the terrestrial side, one of the major components of the habitat stamp is to fund and fully enroll the James River CREP, or Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program. And our agency has been working diligently over the last month in particular, having weekly calls with USDA at a national level to get our agreement amended, put in place so that we can finish enrolling that James River CREP with the available acres that we have to get up to that 100,000. So in a broad nutshell, that's a description, Mr. Chairman, that we do have a plan in place that works on both sides, both aquatic and terrestrial, prioritizing projects and working with our staff. They've got projects identified that we're currently working on, currently preparing for next year so that implementation can take place next year and then moving into the future as well.
Thanks for that explanation. Anybody have any comments or questions? If not, then I believe we're ready to go to petitions, Tom. Is that right?